Hey, good morning to you. Welcome to the Vineyard. Hey, the sermon title is The Honeymoon's Over, and you need to understand what that doesn't mean. It has nothing to do with the fact this is week two at Shelby, just right off the bat. I blogged about this, and it's a fun title, and it's going to tie into the sermon, but we have had a phenomenal time week two at Shelby. We're learning the ropes. Thank you for giving us as much grace as possible and just figuring out. I know there's some folks here bringing their children for childcare, and we got backed up around 10 a.m. and we're still vacuuming carpets and cleaning. And so just want to say thank you so much for giving us grace and for being here. And we are so excited to be 10:30 in the morning, Sundays, great time. So The Honeymoon's Over is where I am going. And before I dive into it, I want to say a couple quick things from a volunteering standpoint. You need to know that we have an amazing army of volunteers. We're a church in a box, and here's a picture of our trailer. You probably saw it as you came in. Yeah. Everything that we need to make this church happen gets loaded in that, unloaded. Alan drove his truck to haul that here. We have a team of about 30 people. I think there's a picture of some of them volunteering to make this service happen. We had an amazing problem last week where our kids program had 22 kids, which was a world new, just blew us out of the water, scared us a little bit, but in a really good way. So we actually, just so you know, if you have kids program, we're actually in the process of moving. We're going to be in the gym next week. And just bursting at the seams already with our Vineyard kids, which is really cool. It is really cool. And on that note, if you want to step up and serve in any capacity, on your connection card, it says, I would love to volunteer. Please check that box, and we'll get you connected, and we have team leaders that are going to do that. One other announcement I have to make is our website is brand new. It's the same website address, TEV Church. Tom Petz, where are you? There's Tom. Tom Petz with his hand raised. He actually, about a year ago, designed our initial site completely for free. And he just did that. Thank you. Honestly, Tom, he stood in the gap, just said, hey, I'm going to do this for you. So for over a year, we've had a website that has been tevchurch.org. We just contracted a company in our area, and it wasn't free, but there it is. So that's the homepage. Check it out. Spread the word. We have some new content there, and we are super excited about our new website as well. Because a lot of times for people who are brand new to a church, the first place they'll check or just kind of poke around, the first introduction of the church is through the web. And so we are super excited. Yes, it is. On Facebook as well. We're friends here. Me and friend has been like, that term, by the way, has been changed forever because of Facebook. I'm friends with like 500 people, half of them I never even met, but it's all good. So, hey, we're going to do what we do every single week at the Vineyard. We're going to teach the Bible. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to be. We have been in this gospel, the biography of Jesus, the first one in the New Testament, since February when we launched weekly. And we are continuing. We are in chapter 7. And we're going to be wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount actually next week. And we are in chapter 7. And I might actually have a typo, but it's actually chapter 7, starting in verse 15 through verse 23 is where we're going to be. And let me read the text to you. And what we're going to do, I'm going to read the text frame, kind of where we're going. We're going through this one section at a time. So we start in chapter 1, and we've been walking through it story by story and seeing where God leads. I'm not going to cover every single thing in this text because, as you'll see, there is a lot to cover. I'm very aware that the Lions are on at 1 p.m., and I'm very aware that our teardown team wants to be home by then in order to watch the game. So our goal is to have you out here about 11:45. And so I'm going to read a whole bunch of stuff, a lot of things that I'm not even going to talk about, but I want to focus in and go deep in one area of this passage in Matthew chapter 7. So let me read the text to you. And again, it's Matthew 7, starting verse 15. Watch out for false prophets, Jesus said. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? He says, no, they don't. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will know who they are. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name, perform miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Again, a lot of stuff going on. Wolves, sheep's clothing, judgment day, bearing fruit, thrown into fire. There's a lot of stuff going on. And so instead of kind of touching on everything, I want to go deep in one area, and that's the concept of bearing fruit, because it's mentioned a whole bunch of times. As I was processing that concept, what it means to bear fruit, and that's, again, where we are going to spend our time today. The truth is, as a follower of Christ, we tend to think, hey, if you're a Christian, what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means to believe a certain set of beliefs, a statement of faith, to be able to say something like the creeds, like, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I was born and raised in the Catholic Church. We said that every once in a while. And so to be a Christian, he said, hey, are you a Christian? You would tend to answer that question by thinking, well, do I believe a certain set of truths? In fact, we use the word, instead of saying you're a Christian, we say, hey, are you a believer? We use that language. And I believe, first of all, while believing the right things is imperative, we have to have faith in the right things. Jesus in this text is saying that to follow him requires much more than just believing some things. In fact, if you simply call him Lord and you don't do what he says this, we already touched on this in verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only one who does the will of my Father. So in other words, he's saying, right off the bat, he's saying, okay, we need to have faith in him, but our faith cannot stop at simply a set of beliefs that we mentally ascribe to. In fact, our faith is proved by what we do, by the fruit in our lives. And so that's where we're going to go today, but before we do, it's been a crazy morning. I just like to hit the pause button. If you want to bow your heads with me, I'd love to commit this time to Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit ultimately to teach us. So if you want to close your eyes, let me pray. Jesus, thank you for this church that you are building. Thank you for Shelby Junior High opening their doors to us. Thank you for bringing each child here today, each adult here today. I believe they are here for a reason, not by coincidence. Thank you for those who have walked through our doors for the first time. May they experience you, God, today and not simply go to church. I ask, Holy Spirit, ultimately, that you fill me, that you are our teacher today, that you lead and guide every word that comes out of my mouth. May I be your instrument. Thanks, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to dive into the text, and I'm going to focus on the part in the middle, but before I do, if you want to take notes, if you want to jot down some things, the program is here for that. And I always like to point this out. There's the blank side here to take notes down. Then there's questions you can do as a small group with your roommate, with your friend, with your spouse, with your family to help what I'm going to say stick. And so that's why we have that panel. And on the back side of the program is some other books and things that you can buy. So I always like to point that out to people who are new here. But now what I want to do is focus, and we're going to mine deep in the middle of the portion of the scriptures that we are going to unpack today. Verse 18, this is where we're going to land. A good tree, Jesus said, cannot bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good. Every tree does not bear good fruit. It's cut down, thrown in the fire. By their fruit, you will know them. And again, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only one who does the will of my Father, who does my will, and the will of my Father in heaven. Now, if you were here a week ago, I preached one of the things as you read your Bible, as you study your Bible on your own, it's always important to remember context, to understand the context, not to take a verse in a vacuum, but to say, okay, where does this land in the story, in the greater story? And if you remember when we read this, the primary application has to do with what's called false prophets, false teachers. That's how this portion began. But I believe that, and there's another principle that we can apply. Besides knowing context and understanding context, we can launch oftentimes from the context and say, okay, how can we apply this to our lives? Because, like, you read this text and go, okay, well, Jesus says, beware of false teachers. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a false prophet. So I can just, who cares about bearing fruit? I'm not a prophet. We'll miss what Jesus has to say for us because there's something here for us. We can take the principle and apply it to our lives, the principle about bearing fruit, because the reality is that all of us are called to bear fruit, not just prophets, not just men of God, so to speak. We are all called to bear fruit. So the principle, when you read the Bible, say, okay, what's the context? I need to understand that and camp there. But now what can I draw out of that, and how can I apply that to my life? And again, that's just something that we're called to do, and it's a good way to study the scriptures. So to focus on the application for us, I want to look at the word fruit. It shows up a bunch of times in our text. And Jesus calls us, he says, bear fruit. Now, what he was speaking to farmers in agricultural economy. So he's painting a word picture. He's using words to say, you know, I'm going to call you a tree, and I'm going to call you to bear fruit. Bear good fruit, don't bear bad fruit. And the original audience would have known exactly what he was talking about. Because, again, they're farmers. They're in agricultural. But we're in the suburbs. And I remember growing up, right, you may have a garden, but you don't grow your own food. That's what you go to the grocery store for. I mean, I remember as a kid thinking, you know, like, just in my mind as a small child, so I was like, corn, is that like made in some like factory somewhere and just kind of put in a can? I had no idea, honestly. You know, yeah, I'm a city boy. You're right. I'm going to go really old school for one, by the way. Anybody remember the grocery store chain Great Scott? Hands up. Hands up. We got some Great Scott people. I was born and raised on the east side, old school. My mom and used to take me to the one on Grossbeck and the parkway there. I think it's maybe a TJ Maxx or something. I don't even know what it is now. But yeah, but Great Scott. We used to go to Great Scott, and you would get all of the things that someone's grown somewhere, and you buy them in cans, right, or the produce part of the store. And so because of that, things get lost in translation. We don't understand, okay, Jesus, what do you mean to us to bear fruit? And again, he says this over and over again in our text today. So the question is, well, what is fruit? And I want to read a scripture to you that explains it, I think, in a pretty good way. Titus chapter 3. Paul, who wrote the letters to the Galatians, to the Corinthians, he also wrote to Titus. And he was a pastor, and he said this. He said, let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. It's a good way to explain, right? It's simply a way. Bearing fruit is simply a way to say good works or good deeds or doing things that honor God, both inside ourselves and outside in the world. Let us maintain, let's do good works, let's meet urgent needs so that we may not be unfruitful. So in your mind, whenever you hear the word bearing fruit, you can say, okay, well, that means doing good works, doing good deeds, both inside and outside. Here's a quote from a book, Secrets of the Vine. This is your pastor's pick for this week if you're in the East Sider and you read that. It's a really small little book, a phenomenal, easy read, but very, very packed full. It's one of those books you can read in a couple hours. Here's what the author writes. He says, in practical terms, fruit represents good works, a thought, an attitude, or an action of ours that God values because it glorifies him. It continues. Here we go. You bear inner fruit when you allow God to nurture you in a new Christ-like quality. You bear outward fruit when you allow God to work through you to bring him glory. And I love the way that this book kind of unpacks this concept of fruit, because it talks about how we need to have inner fruit and outer fruit. Here's an example of inner fruit in Galatians chapter 5, something else that the Apostle Paul wrote. He talked about fruit of the Spirit. And he said, fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and it's self-control. And what Paul is saying is that's the fruit, that's the inner fruit that we are to cultivate, that we are to grow, so that more and more we will have that type of fruit in our lives. So people say, are you a Christian? They don't even need to know. They can see by how you act, the amount of joy and love and peace in your life. There's something different about that person. And it's simply the fruit of the Spirit. So that's some examples of the inner fruit, Galatians 5. But now let me give you an example of some outward fruit that Jesus calls us to bear. And we're going to hit this passage at the clip we're going in the gospel in about 3 years in chapter 25 of Matthew. But that's okay, because we have time. Jesus said this, for I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. In prison, you came to visit me. See, Jesus says to bear this type of fruit, outward fruit, putting your faith in action, transforming a hurting and broken world in tangible, practical ways. So he calls us bear fruit, bear inner fruit, bear outer fruit. The inner fruit is, again, becoming more Christ-like in everything we think, everything internal, everything that comes out of our mouth. And we need to also become more Christ-like on the outside by putting our faith in action and doing stuff like that, serving the poor, those in need. And so again, while it is imperative to have faith in Christ, we're saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. Our faith cannot stop with simply ascribing to a set of beliefs. In fact, our faith is proved by what we do, by fruit, inner and outer fruit. Jesus calls us to bear fruit, not an option. It is core to what it means to follow Christ. Again, I don't like to say I'm a believer. I like to say I'm a follower because there's action involved there. Say believer, it's static. And obviously, we need to believe the right things, but again, that compels us to follow Christ. And in another verse in the Gospel of John, another biography of Jesus, he expands on this idea. He said, well, what kind of fruit do we need to bear? He says this in John 15, verse 16. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Things that matter, things that make an impact long after we're gone. And just to be honest, as I was processing this passage, and oftentimes, and I say this, I'm preaching to myself probably more than I'm preaching to you. And as I'm doing my sermon prep, and just, all right, Jesus, what do you have for me primarily? And then that overflow goes to you guys. So I need to be honest and say, you know, Jesus said to bear fruit. Bear good fruit, not bad fruit. By the type of fruit you bear, you will be known by the type of tree, by the type of person that you are. For years, even though Jesus said that, he commanded that, I did not take him at his word, if I'm completely honest with you. I thought for years, as long as I believe the right things, like, hey, this is the word of God, every word on every page, the Bible, word of God, Jesus, he is God in the flesh, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, saved by grace, through faith. As long as I had, like, my checklist down, I'm good. I honestly believed that. I honestly practiced that. So when Jesus said, hey, bear fruit, I'm like, well, that's like extra credit. Honestly, that's an option. But I'm good because I believe the right things. Well, a couple weeks ago, Kelly and I got on the spring cleaning kick. Some of our core team folks know that. She got this book called, I think, Simple Mom. And it just talks about, like, organizing your life. And we have three small kiddos and we need some organization. And so we're organizing, like, we need to declutter, and we're filling up our garbage can every single to the brim, you know, and sometimes extra stuff. And we're organizing our garage so I could park in it. That lasted for about 8 days, I think. I'm not kidding. My PT Cruiser is now in our driveway again, but we have some church stuff there. That's all good. But we're organizing our garage, organizing our basement, organizing our DVDs. In the process, we found an old VHS tape. Here it is here. Kelly and I went to Puerto Vallarta for our honeymoon back in 2004, and we had this VHS tape. This is actually, my dad actually wrote this and made this tape for him. We borrowed his camera back then, and we did the whole sightseeing thing. You know, Puerto Vallarta. Anybody been there, by the way, Puerto Vallarta? Anyway, it's a beautiful town. It's like old school. Like, you just understand the culture. And we took the public, you know, transportation up and down the cobblestone roads. It was unbelievable. So we're just doing the tourist thing. And everyone knows, hey, it's the newlyweds. So they want, you know, to sell you everything. And the mariachi bands want to play for you while you have to pay for them, you know. But so we did our Adventures of Puerto Vallarta. We recorded on VHS tape. And we, like, lost the tape, honestly, for like 7 years. And so we found the tape, pop it into our VCR, and it's like hopping into a time machine. Back to 2004. Now, back then, I was about 30 pounds more, less heavy. Didn't have glasses or goatee. Here's actually some pictures of us on our honeymoon down in Puerto Vallarta. Look at Kelly. That's me, kind of. We have another one. We did a horseback thing. We actually, the movie Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger was actually filmed in Puerto Vallarta. They have like jungles there, which you don't think about. And we took these horses up killed us. Like, this guy took us off-road. It's like English-Spanish thing. Well, we didn't watch Dora back then, so we didn't know a lot. We didn't know a lot of Spanish. It's like, alto, stop. But we actually took these, like, on this thing up to where, I'm not making it up, and we're like, we asked the guy, here's some money. Can you just take the horses back down by yourself? And we just took a cab back down. I'm not kidding. Here's the final picture of us. And there we are eating. And I want to keep that picture up there. Because it's interesting, we're watching us, and there's, you know, people took, you know, camera pictures of us, and we have our VHS tape. And I'm sure it's like you, anytime you look at pictures of yourself in albums, you watch home, like old home tapes, you take a trip down memory lane. And you don't just remember there, what you ate that day. You remember that time period of your life. At least that's what happens to me. So Kelly and I were watching this tape of our honeymoon from 04. And we're just having a flashback after flashback, not just of Puerto Vallarta, but of our lives back in 2004. Our values, our priorities, how we spent our money, how we spent our time, things like that. And this is going to sound really, really weird. But as we watched ourselves on TV, it was like watching a couple strangers. Now, we knew that was us. We knew we were watching ourselves, but the people on the screen were no longer us. And it's not just because I packed on some pounds and got, you know, like some glasses and a goatee. See, back then, as we lived our lives, and we spent some time processing it, we watched a tape over a few evenings, that back then, our lives were basically at the core about us. Now, a honeymoon, like, do that, live it up, take a week off and just do whatever you want to do, pamper yourself, get to know one, you need to do that. But life is not a honeymoon. It's a period of time. And then you get back into the real world, and we just kind of got stuck in the honeymoon. We flew back home and just kept on kind of being, it was all about us, as if we were on our honeymoon. We were believers in Jesus back then, but we didn't follow him all that much. Because back then, what does it mean to be a Christian? I defined it as a set of beliefs. It's doctrine. That's the core. That's what really matters. So bearing fruit, yeah, Jesus, he told us to do that. Optional, extra credit. And I'll pass on that. I'm doing just fine, thank you. I'll see you in heaven. Here's a few ways I'm going to kind of throw myself under the bus a bit. But to just explain, and as I do this, as I explain kind of how I live my life, and it was all about me back then, my hope and prayer is that God does something and speaks to you so that you hear what I'm saying, and it's part of your story as well. Back then, the only time that I served the poor, back in 04, was once a year, Kensington Church had pass out the baskets at time for Thanksgiving. And my brother in St. Clair Shores was one of the staging houses. So once a year, I went over his house and I helped stage all the Thanksgiving baskets. And I remember driving home, and I'm like, feeling like Mother Teresa felt. I mean, I served the poor today for 4 hours on Thanksgiving morning. I mean, come on. And by the way, this is not one of those pastor exaggeration stories. True. The Bible talks about honor thy father and mother. It's in God's top 10. Back then in 04, the only time, it's like one of those commandments that you think, once you kind of move out of the house, doesn't apply to me. It applies to Faith and Evelyn and Elizabeth, honor thy father and mother. But when you're 30, 35, whatever, that commandment is for kids, period. And you could be a kid who's 40. Honor your parents. The only time back then that I connected with my mom and dad was I made my once a week phone call to kind of check in. And that was it. Bible talks about honoring the elderly. My grandparents were long gone at that point, but Kelly had Grandma and Papa, still alive. Italian Catholic family, really tight family. And she went over to see them at least twice a month. And I went with her, but I made sure she knew that because I was doing this, she owed me. I was like punching the clock. I'm not kidding. Back then, our free time was basically spent on us. Now, I'm not saying, hey, don't fix up your house, but it was like all about that. Movies, right? if you have like a subscription to like Blockbuster Online, you got to get your money's worth. So we're watching like 3 movies a week. Faith in the vineyard, we like to say faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Faith is spelled risk. I'm on staff at Kensington back then. Every once in a while, I'd feel that nudge from God to do this, to plant a church. But back in 04, I'm like, okay, but I just got promoted. I now have an office, God. I have good health care, God. I have a paycheck that is guaranteed, God. And so I feel that nudge, that still small voice. I'd be like, I got a company-issued laptop, Lord. I'm feeling that nudge, and I realized as I was processing this back in 04, how I live my life and the choices that I made for me personally. I was basically a professional Christian. In other words, the only things I did for Christ was things that I got paid to do as a staff member of a church. It hurts to say that. See, back then, we were believers in Jesus. We didn't follow him all that much. We defined Christianity as a set of beliefs. Weren't bearing all that much fruit after all. And as Kelly and I watched ourselves, and then we fast-forwarded to today, we felt really good about the journey that we're on. We're very glad that the honeymoon's over. We're very glad that that's no longer us, and the way we're living our lives back then is no longer the way we're doing it today. But in saying that, I'm not saying, hey, super Christian, move over Billy Graham. You're retiring. Kick, you know, I can do that. I can do that. In fact, and this is just how God works, as I'm processing this and just saying, man, God, thank you for where you've taken me. Thank you for the journey I'm on. God's like, we still got work to do. And so as God does, here's an example, which I will throw myself further under the bus. As you know, if you watch football, this past Monday night was a historic occasion, right? Monday Night Football, Detroit Lions. First time in like 20 years. They're undefeated. And I'm like, okay. I knew this date. I'm like, okay. It's, you know, what's October 9th, was it? Had the date circled on my calendar. Monday Night Football, got to watch the game. Well, we're old school. We don't have cable in our house. So it was scheduled to be on ESPN, right? So I'm like, okay. Got to watch the game no matter what. Two obstacles. Number one, game's on ESPN, so I need to find somewhere to go. I'm going to drive across town. Doesn't matter where I go. Go to mom and dad's, wherever. If they have, like, HD, I'm going there. Big screen, the bigger, I'm going there. Who wants to have me? I'm just processing that. Well, then the other obstacle is, well, the game's probably going to end around 11 o'clock at night. With drive time, I'll be in bed, like, way after that, and I'm usually in bed by 10. Early to bed, early to rise, you know, they got that whole thing. That's me. So I'm sacrificing sleep, drive time, schedule, family time, whatever it takes to watch this game. And as I'm kind of processing this, that still small voice of God just nudged me again. And it was like God saying, you know what? It's great you're having fun. It's great you want to watch the game. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. You're rearranging your schedule. You're driving wherever it takes, doing whatever you need to do to watch that game. Let me ask you a question, Dan. Would you do the same for an opportunity to serve the poor? Would you rearrange? Now, we do. We serve the poor a whole bunch more than we have. It's part of just what we do now. But what God's saying, would you go to the lengths that you did to watch a Monday Night Football game to bear fruit for my glory? God asked me that. And again, it was just that nudge that I felt. And it was just one of those ouch moments where I knew that I am not there yet, haven't arrived. In the same time, we're watching ourselves from 04, and I can say, thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm not that person anymore. Kelly's not that person anymore. And praise Jesus for that, but hit the gas harder. You haven't arrived. Bear more fruit. I just felt that nudge from God as I'm working on this topic today. So here's my application. I want to make it very practical for you because I always enjoy doing that. It's not just this kind of like thoughts of like, oh, wow, I learned some more about the Bible today. I learned what fruit means. I want to apply it to our lives, and I want to do that with inner and outer fruit because that's what he calls us to bear. And so I'm going to ask you some questions. This will be a time to ask you questions. You can take notes as I do, but I'm going to ask just just the Holy Spirit. We want people to encounter God when we're here, not just go to church. And so I'm going to ask some questions. And as I do, if there's a thought or an idea or a concept that pops in your mind, just trust that's God. Trust that's God. Take that note down. And maybe that's going to be your action step. So let me just ask you some questions right now. And again, Holy Spirit, just guide this time. Going back to the inner fruit, the fruit of the Spirit that Jesus calls us to produce in Galatians 5, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just be thinking through right now, which of those aspects of the fruits do you cultivate the most? And there's probably a few. Can you actually put the verse on the screen? Galatians 5. Which of those do you cultivate the most? And you can thank God for those. Don't get puffed up by them. But which of those do you cultivate the most? And then something else you want to process through is, which do you tend to bear the opposite of? Bad fruit. For example, fruit of the Spirit includes patience. Maybe the fruit you bear is impatience. And again, which aspect of the fruit is coming to mind right now? You might want to circle it if you have your Bible. Circle that word. Maybe take a note of which ones you want to press into more that you're already doing, but which ones do you need to ask God to help transform you from the inside out? So that's an example of inner fruit. Again, if a word or a thought or a concept pops in your mind, trust that's God. The outward fruit example that we had, where Jesus talked about being hungry and feeding him and giving him things to drink and giving him clothes. Which of those aspects of serving the poor, of serving the needy, are you doing right now? And maybe there's some. Maybe you have this one down. You're like, I'm bearing fruit. God's telling you, bear more. Put your foot on the gas. Maybe there's something. Maybe there's a nudge right now. You're doing something or you feel a nudge to begin doing something so you can produce even more fruit. Even more fruit. Not so that you can tell the world how great you are, but so that God gets the glory. His kingdom comes a little bit more on this earth. His will is done a little bit more on this earth. Inward and outer fruit. Ask the Holy Spirit. Spend some time asking him to guide your thoughts in these. And don't stop when you walk out of your day. Spend some time today doing it. After all, we don't have the Tigers to watch tonight, right? Ouch. No one laughed at that. They're like, yeah, that's kind of sore there. I watched the game too. It was bad. Now I want to make it even more practical to you. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says this. Don't waste your time on useless work. Don't be busy. Watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of how many chances? Every. Make the most of every chance you get. Don't live carelessly. Think. Make sure you understand what Jesus, the Master, wants. See, one of the biggest obstacles to producing fruit in our lives is we don't follow this teaching. We're busy. We're busy with things that don't matter all of that much. But we all have the same amount of time in our week, every single week. And so something to think through again, very practically, and again, just ask the Holy Spirit to give you a thought, give you a word. What is one activity that you do all the time that if you maybe cut back a little bit or maybe you stop doing altogether would make a huge change in the amount of time you could focus on bearing fruit? Now, again, I'm not saying become a monk. I'm saying dial back a little bit on things that don't matter all that much. We need to have fun and enjoy life and do that. But I think oftentimes in America especially, we do a whole lot of that. That's what is mandatory. Optional, putting our faith in action. Optional, it's all about us, all about my life, all about everything I want to do. Optional, other people. Optional, being used by God. So if there's an activity or something right now that popped in your mind and it was like, boom, and you're like, oh, not that one, God. This week, hey, don't get mad at me. Don't fill out your connection card. You know, get off Facebook. What? Trust that what you're hearing right now is from God. And this week, dial back on that activity. Maybe stop doing that activity. Maybe God's telling you, turn off the TV. So you can spend more time praying, asking God to give you some fruit of the Spirit that you don't have right now, to be more patient, to be more filled with joy. Maybe God's telling you, get off the internet and serve the neighbor across the street who we know needs help. Just show God's love in practical ways. Maybe God's calling you to fast from food for a day. I preached about that about a month ago. Fasting for food, just so you can dial in and connect to God better. Maybe it's really simple, like doing the laundry at home for your spouse or your roommate so they can have more time to relax. By the way, serving at home is a huge way to produce fruit. Serve your parents. Serve your grandparents. Serve your family. That is a huge way to produce fruit we often ignore. But serving our community, serving outward, begins in the home or in our extended home. Serve your family. Serve your grandparents. Serve your spouse. Serve your roommates. Serve your kids. Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. By their fruit, you will know them. My heartbeat is to be a church that bears good fruit. That bears good fruit. Inner fruit. So we're inwardly transformed. Where people don't even have to know. You don't need a bumper sticker on your car to know that guy's a Christian. You simply look at them and say, the way they're living, that well will draw them to Jesus. Cultivating more inward fruit, fruit of the Spirit. And as we're filled up, we just pour out, we gush out to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a very hurting and broken time in our lives, in America, in the world. It's interesting, as Jesus wraps up the Sermon on the Mount, he's hitting on the same topic again and again. We talked about it a week ago, putting our faith in action. We're talking about today. And in a week, build your house on a rock. Anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is the person that builds their house on the rock. Do that. Don't build your house on sand. Jesus is driving home something for our church. And it's interesting, again, how we landed. We started like 8 months ago, one story at a time. And the opening topics, the opening sermons I'm preaching on are hitting us and hitting us and hitting us with the same topic of being transformed in order to transform the world. So I really hope you journey with me on that one. Again, preaching to myself here, but preaching to you too. May we be a church that bears fruit for the glory of God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for choosing this passage of Scripture from this biography of yours to speak on today, to preach on today. Jesus, I pray that we aren't just hearers of the word, but we are doers of it, that we do time with you today, we pray today, we ask in tangible ways, what inner fruit, what outer fruit do we need to cultivate, to grow in our lives, to make your kingdom come more fully, your will be done more fully on this earth as it already is being done in heaven. Jesus, may you speak to us, and when you tell us to do something, when you prompt us to do something, may we not ignore that voice. May we dial into that voice and may we do it. May we do it. Thanks, Jesus. Amen.